made. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Thank you for being here this morning. Anybody here for the first time? A lot of folks over here. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you being here. Anybody over here? All right. Good. Got one whole row missing. Where'd they go right here? Yes, right. Watch them closer over there, friend. Said they were here last week. Isn't that hateful? Tell you the truth. Got folks came all the way from California back here on the back row. Yeah. Got to get up about 3 in the morning to get here in California. Can't just come on over here. We're talking to a man this week. Said, where do you go to church? Do you go to church? Oh, yeah. He said, I'm new at it. I'm new at it. I said, well, good. Welcome to the family. He said, I've joined the Baptist church. I said, well, that's wonderful. That's good. He said, I'm going to be baptized. I said, that's the thing to do. He said, now, I am new at it. I'm new at it. I don't know much about it. I've been to a couple of classes. I do understand that we're big on eternal strife. And I said, yeah, you'll find that out. He stay up there long. Oh, me. The Baptists get accused of starting way back when. And they learned from the soldiers fighting the Indians. They'd form a circle when the enemy come. But they point their guns to the inside. We have a hard time telling them to turn around. The enemy's outside. So we kid the Baptist brethren. Boy, it's mighty good ones. I hated to see Adrian Rogers leave here and go home. What a preacher. He's still on. If you have a chance to hear him, you do that. Now, we're going to be on WODR 105.3 on your FM dial. That's the Beach Music Station. And OD, of course, stands for Ocean Drive. And they'll play us every Sunday, like we do here the previous week on CD. So we welcome all you folks listening now from there. And we ask you to call your friends. There's more to life than getting down, I promise you. So we're going to start this morning and continue what we've been speaking on, which is the last days. As we always refer to the little black preacher in the country, bless his heart, good man of God. He was 92. Mother Johnson was in the congregation. She was 90. She eased up to the pulpit at the end of the service and said, Rev, I hear a lot about the last days on TV, radio, people talking. Can you tell me, are we living in the last days? He said, how old are you, Mother Johnson? She said, 90. He said, I don't know about the rest of them, but me and you are. Well, I know about the rest of them, and I'm going to pass it on to you this morning. And we're not living in the last days. We are living in the last hours. And please understand that. We had a wedding here yesterday. Nice wedding on the beach out here. And then they all came in to be inside. And I had to fill out the papers and kind of looked around and got by myself. And I said, well, it's true. The world's coming apart. If you've been paying attention this week and last week on television. And just like the scriptures predicted, same people. And all hell's getting ready to break loose on earth. And they're marrying and giving in marriage and doing what they always did, paying little attention to what's going on in the world. You see, the sad part is very few people really know what's going on. And we are among the fortunate who were taught what was going on when we were young, saw it come to pass as we grew. And now I see it happening on my television set as I sit at home in the evening, exactly what my father taught me 60 years ago. It's amazing, and maybe we can discuss some of that this morning. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to know that when the world is in trouble, you are our refuge, and we have nothing to worry about if we know you. For you are our Heavenly Father, our guardian, our general. You are our captain. You are our warrior. You are the one who will keep us safe. We thank you, Lord, and ask you to be and give peace to Jerusalem. We are instructed in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we certainly do that in this day because it's turmoil there. We pray for all those innocent on any side of the war, that nobody wants to die and nobody wants to be bombed or killed. We feel sorry for the innocent victims of any war, which are always brought into it against their will, but just because of where they live, they're going to have to be part of it. We ask that you be with those people, and we ask that you be with the enemies, that they will hear the word of God and be converted, for that's the only answer to this problem. Be with us today. Remove me from this place, if you would, that you be heard. And all that is said that should be forgotten, please make it be, and that which should be remembered, please have it be. That above all you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we're praying for his sake. Amen. So in these last days you will hear some get overly excited, some not excited at all, and the middle part could care less. I was doing my channel checking last night. You know how us guys do. We pay for 32 stations. We're looking at something on all of them. And so Ann calls it the slideshow. And I'm running through the slideshow, and I get the History Channel. And anytime anything happens theologically in the world, whether it's Easter or Christmas or now, the large stations, the ABCs, NBCs, and the rest of them, trot out the Jesus Seminar or some highly degreed imbecile from Harvard or Yale Theological Department who are going to give us their take on the last days, which they don't believe in anyway. And I'm watching one. He's a theological expert, so to be, and he's in this huge cathedral type place, and he's saying, well, the scholars believe Revelation in those books are just myth and stories, and the others believe they're literal. That is a buzzword for people who are educated beyond their intelligence. That's the scholars. Malcolm Muggeridge said the intelligentsia have now intelligized themselves to a point of imbecility. And the more I see of them, the more I understand that. I was watching Rabbi Zacharias, reading Rabbi Zacharias, and he was discussing things with an evolutionist not long, because it don't take him long. And this lady was adamant in her beliefs, and he said, "Madam, could I ask you exactly what makes you think you came from a rock?" She said, "I never said I came from a rock." He said you believe in evolution. She said, "Yeah, but that's a progressive, you know, the 900 billion times of a worm turning into a giraffe one day." And he said, "Take me back to yoga." She said, "Well, it's the primordial soup. I've eaten most of Campbell's goods, never have seen the primordial, but that is supposedly this primordial soup where certain minerals and what came together in a perfect situation, and Willie the Worm came out." And he said, "Where did the soup come from?" And she hadn't ever been asked that question. She said, "Well, let me see. Oh, the Big Bang, and part of that landed here. And then it rained on that for millions of years and developed the soup." And he said, "In other words, you did come from a rock." She said, "I never thought of that. I believe I came from a rock." She didn't disbelieve it when she left. She was just glad to find out how dumb she really was. Now, this is the point of imbecility, is it not? And those of us of less intelligence, I have written proof. I'm not too bright. I guess Greenville High and the colleges I went to still have their records. And I've got experts proving how dumb I am. My daddy died thinking D meant I was doing it. And just didn't have the heart to tell him. And these people have finally gotten themselves to the point where through physics, and that's a wonderful thing if you have a mind that can comprehend that, and they get into quantum mechanics. Don't look at me like you know what it is. I thought quantum mechanics was when more than four people worked on your car. I didn't know. Had no idea. And they get into quantum algebra and all these wonderful things. And these people are intelligent, above us normal folk by a long shot. But what a shame that they use their intelligence in the wrong way, when they could have used it to study the Word of God and then have proclaimed it so wonderfully through books and speaking and different methods. How wonderful and what a good thing their mind would have accomplished. When at the end of things, and Stephen Hawking, who passed away not long ago, they claim he was more brilliant than Einstein, confined to that wheelchair, bless his heart, what a terrible thing, but a mind that would just shock you. You couldn't even talk to the man. And he ended up admitting there must be a God. There must be one. And he knew physics above physics above physics, and these things way out in these spectrums we don't even discuss, and he's got books on the matter, and it'll just give you a headache to try to read them. And no understanding, you can't understand it because your mind doesn't work that way. Maybe yours does, mine doesn't. But in the final analysis, when they got all the way back through all these disciplines, it boiled down to 10 words. No use to read them. I'll just tell you what they are. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All of their learning, all of their schooling, amounted to what your little child learned in the sunshine class if they went to Sunday school this morning, when the teacher said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the fellow I was watching on television, bless his heart, he's a right reverend, or a reverend who's not right, had on all his stuff, and God bless him, he thinks he's saved, and he probably questions that, because he probably questions salvation, he questions everything else. He's standing there commenting on scripture that he knows nothing of, and the buzzword for scholarship is those of us who know versus those illiterate rednecks who think the Bible's the Word of God and really believe that God said what he meant and meant what he said, and really know and see in its pages history written in advance and just watch it before their eyes as it comes true. These poor souls, we just won't call names, but we're the scholars. Well, you stay the scholars. I'll walk among the redeemed, as you sang a while ago. I would hate to face a holy, just, and righteous God and have to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, excuse me, could I have a few minutes? I need to straighten some things out with you on that book you left. I much prefer to stand shaking and in my humble ignorance and say, please pardon me if I was wrong, but I was stupid enough to believe when you said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that it's God breathed, that that's exactly what you meant. And when you had Peter say that this wasn't written by men, it was written by people who were moved along by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and wrote what he would have them write. I'm sorry I was so dumb. I didn't know any better than to read the beginning and really think it was you that created heaven and earth. I didn't know any better than to think that you claimed the Jewish people for your own and protected them till they turned on you, and you claimed that they'd never be taken from the face of the earth, and you provided a history that anybody with any grain of education can read and see how you've protected them when you haven't protected anybody else. And I just want you to know, I want to apologize for being so dumb. I really believe that you were God. I really believe that you died for my sins.
I really believe they buried you, and I believe that you got up. And if I preach that in error, please accept my apology today. Please. I'm so sorry I misrepresented you. Far better I'd stand there with my toes in the heavenly dirt and tears in my eyes apologizing for my stupidity than to stand before him and call him a liar. The sad thing is that man I was watching is only going to stand before him in judgment unless he changes. Do not think you're going to call the Lord of glory a liar and live in his presence. Don't even entertain that thought. Do not think that you're going to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and live in his presence because you studied real hard. Not going to happen. And we go back as we were reading and thinking about this week, all the way to Joel to find about Armageddon. You hear on the airways today and the voices of people is what's starting over here, Armageddon. Then we've been talking about the last days for the last few Sundays. And please get it straight in your mind that what's taking place now is equivalent to the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Read that real careful. That's not Armageddon. That's the battles that are leading up to the tribulation. That's the time, as we talked last Sunday, when the names of the people are called out, and it's quite interesting. I was watching Rod Parsley this morning. We disagree on some things, but boy, we agree that Jesus saves. And I was watching him, and he was talking about this too. It seems that some people have sense enough to pass the good news on, that Jesus is at the doorstep. And he had maps he was showing, like John Hagee does, and that's very interesting to see those charts and maps, and pointing out that Central Asia, which includes all of those Stan countries, you know, Pakistan and Uzbekistan and Uzbekistan and, you know, Stan Still, all of them, just all that same place. They changed the names, but the geography didn't change. And predicted way back in Joel and Isaiah, and these people wrote 600 years and better before the birth of Christ. Please understand, this news that we're reading to you was written over 2,000 years ago. It's one of the great proofs that the scriptures are the Word of God. Who else can take a book, their so-called holy book, and point to you future events written before they happen? In fact, God said, I will tell you things in the future, and nobody can do that but God. We've had a few try that. You've seen them on the newspaper, National Enquirer and some of them, and they'll have the big headlines, so-and-so predicts this and predicts that. Have you ever seen percentages of how many times they're right? You'd have done just as well shutting your eyes, checking off answers with a pencil. Okay. Don't remember anybody saying, move those people, a tsunami's coming, do you? Don't remember anybody saying, hey, Mississippi, New Orleans need to back off some. I didn't hear that. We sure could have used you down here. We've had 4 or 5 hurricanes in the last 10 years. It tore everything apart between here and Wilmington and Charleston. And we sure would have liked to have had a tip. I don't remember them coming forth. Do you? Of course not, because nobody knows the future but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote it so we would know. Listen to the prophet Joel, chapter 3, verse 2. I'll also gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat means the Lord judges. So we have mangled Christianity to this point, and make no mistake about it, God is love. There's no doubt about that. However, God is just. He came in love as a baby. and offered the world peace, prosperity, love and joy, and they nailed him to a cross for his effort. This time he's coming in judgment. He's not bringing any valentines with him. He's coming to rule with a rod of iron, and the very word Jehoshaphat means the Lord judges. Make no mistake, he's coming to judge the earth. And as he does come in the rapture of the church, which is right at or just after the tribulation period begins, that's that 7-year period, we're out of here. Now, our good brother theologian in his cathedral or wherever he was standing, it looked like a mighty fine place. He'll still be standing there wondering what happened. If he doesn't change, I pray that he does. You see, there's so many people who get on us premillennialists for believing Scripture. I wonder how you got in, let alone why anybody would listen to you preach from the Bible if you don't believe in it. That's always been a mystery to me. And many don't. They just throw it away. Give you 3 points in a poem and let's go home. And you shake the preacher's hand and say, wasn't that nice? And he said, well, thank you. And you say, how you doing? And you dying. And you say, I'm getting along fine. And we lie to each other, smile, grin, and go eat shrimp. Right? That's the American way. That's what we do. See? I love my little buddy Tracy over here. Tracy came down here. Somebody forced him to. I think it was his wife. See? She told him, I'll give you a choice of the C's. And he said, what's that? She said, church or court. Whoa, excuse me. Well, where's the church? He said, I'll take it. And brought him, and he heard the message of the Lord. It had nothing to do with me. He heard the scripture. He said, I better do something about this. Got up in front of 400 people. We don't ask you to do that here. Run up here crying, hugging me. I said, what can I do for you, my man? And he said, I got to get saved before I leave here. You see, that's the proper reaction to the news that Jesus is coming in judgment. That's the proper reaction. The old boy who painted the piece of lumber, nailed it to the tree between here and Aner, trying to witness and trying to tell about Jesus, and all he wrote was repent or perish, got every bit of it. That's every bit of it. You have a choice to repent of your sin or to perish. Now, Joel the prophet says, verse 14, who's coming, said, multitudes. Well, we'll go to 9. Proclaim this among the nations, he says. Prepare war and wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near and let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye nations. And gather yourselves together round about. There cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. You see, God is going to force these nations into this valley. We call it Armageddon. This battle is better spoken of not as the battle of Armageddon, because the battle of Armageddon is not one battle. It's a campaign, and there are 4 battles in that thing all over the land of Israel, and they're named in here. But what is going to happen in that day of the Lord, and it's one day, is he is going to come, and he says, there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. He's going to force the nations of the world to come to this one particular place, and you read this when Joel wrote it, and it doesn't make much sense, because there weren't many nations. There were just a bunch of tribes out in the desert, and Israel wasn't a state yet, and this didn't make much sense. Now we know. And I read this and ask myself, of all the places on the planet Earth, why would he call all the nations to one valley in one land the size of New Jersey. Why there? Well, nothing there. Bunch of dirt, bunch of desert. No reasons for the nations to go down there. They didn't have the big oil deal then, you know. There weren't any cars. Your horse won't run long on oil. It run fast for a few minutes, but then he dropped dead. But God said, I'm going to bring all the nations of the world there. How? They didn't have any big ships then. They didn't have any airplanes then. What do you mean you're going to bring all the nations of the world to this one place? So the scholars poo-pooed this and said, well, that's just a mysterious saying that we don't understand. Yeah, just like John 3:16. Verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get down. You know, there's nothing new on the face of the earth. Ecclesiastes was right. Look at get down right there, written 600 years before Christ. Isn't that something? Put the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get down. Right? For the press is full and the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. That's the reason he's coming to judge the earth, because their wickedness is great. It's everywhere. It's not just here. The heart of man is wicked beyond belief, and anywhere you go, you see it, do you not now? And the things that are unspeakable now, are everyday conversation and everyday things to do on television. I can't believe it. You can't either, what you see before your eyes. These serial killers of young children. I can't imagine such a thing. What enters into the mind of any man to take a 9-year-old girl and rape her for a week and then bury her alive? The bleeding hearts want to know what to do with him. Give him the gospel and send him home. That's what to do with him. Don't feed him on my money. He'd be living better in jail than he was at home anyway. Do that. You see, when you once start that slippery slide going against what God said, you end up with a problem you don't know how to handle. We got so many people in jail today that the average first degree murderer, which when you and I were growing up, man, you were dead. The procedure was just go to court, sit in front of the judge, because we're gonna let you know about Reddy Killiwatt here about 2 months, and you're out of here. I mean, that was just taken for granted, wasn't it? And then the bleeding hearts came in, and it's no. Now the average murderer does 7 years. The thousands of first-degree murderers walking the streets. It's hard to get in jail and stay there anymore. They don't want you. They're too crowded. We spend more money on jails, more money to keep a man in jail than it does to send him to Harvard for a year. There's something wrong with that. Well, why don't you teach him what he was right? Didn't the Bible say, bring up a child in the way he shall go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it? Then what made you depart from that? Had we taught them that, the jails would be empty, wouldn't they? But God has said, look, your wickedness is such that I'm coming back. And I'm going to put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get down, for the press is full and the vats overflow. When they used to make wine and get the juice from the grape, it was two levels. You put the grapes in up here, and there's a trough at the bottom, and the wine came out down here, and they'd stomp on that with their feet. You've seen it in the movies. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Oh, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This is one day. The day of the Lord's going to be there, and he's going to come, and these nations are going to turn against him, and they're going to try to fight against him, and they're gone. He tells what's going to happen. The tribulation we talked about, those 7-year periods, the vial and bowl judgments and the seal judgments and all those terrible things that are going to happen. And it's going to be a shock at Harvard, is it not, when they're sitting there saying, well, I thought that was just a myth. No, that's a 125-pound piece of hail landed on your classroom. That's what it is. He even goes on to say that the blood will flow in that country almost 200 miles. That's the length of the country of Israel. And it says that the war that'll be there, the blood will flow 4 feet high. I mean, this is a biggie. And you'll hear people, and they'll get out their little slide rule. Y'all old enough to remember a slide rule? You figured up things instead of a computer, it does it for you. And they would figure it up and say, well, this has got to be an error in the Bible, because to have that much blood, you would have a blah, blah, blah. There's not that many people, and there couldn't be that much blood. You ignoramus, when it rains hail, 125 pounds of ball, it's going to melt. The water will mix with the blood, and it will flow to the horse's bridle, just like the Bible said. You best believe it. Don't mean to get hot at you unless you lost, because if you saved, this don't have anything to do with you. You'll be gone. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I listen for the trumpet. I'm scared to have Will up here in the morning. He'll blow the trumpet. I'll start climbing that back wall. Let's go. All right. Yeah, so, well, you crazy. You can call me anything you like. When that real trumpet blows, you can call me gone, is what you can call me. Isn't it good? Wasn't he right when he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? You see, you're not free if you don't know the truth. This semi-idiot who runs Iran, PhD in civil engineering. PhD. But he also believes, and I doubt that you know Islam believes this. It'll be some information for you. Did you know they're looking for their Messiah? They're looking for their Messiah to come. He's called the 12th Imam. Big preacher. And they knew he was alive because he went into seclusion when he was 5 years old. And he kept talking to them for years. In 940, he went into a well. There's a mosque over that well today, and the Muslims go and write their prayers and drop it in that well for him to read. Best of luck. He ain't there. But they're dead set on believing that this imam is there. And the president of Iran believes this to the point, he believes he has a holy calling to be the welcomer of this man. Just like we look for the return of Jesus. To the point, he was mayor of Tehran, T-E-A, you know that one. And when he was mayor, he got the city to build a big highway that they did not need for any reason for the welcoming of the 12th Imam. Only reason it stands there. The reason why there'll be no sincere peace treaties written with these people is they believe it is their God-given right to bring this to fruition. That is by their efforts that it will get done. This man believes this to the bottom of his being. And the method of bringing is to kill infidels and to convert the world to Islam. Make no mistake about it. This isn't a cult. This is a religion that's been going on for years. And Salman Rushdie was right. He knew from where it came. They put a $5 million bounty on his head. This was, he's still in hiding, I think. Their goal is to kill the infidels. Guess who the infidels are in their mind? You think it's just the Jews? No. It's me and you. Me and you. The reason why the Jews are doing what they're doing today is because they know the mindset of this man and his people. If he had nuclear weapons, they would have already been dropped on Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. The Jews cannot allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. They can't. Condi's over there today, I believe. And she'll do the best she can. And they may sign a little old peace treaty or a little old agreement to stop. I don't know. But don't put any faith in it. They're just buying time to let them get nuclear weapons to drop on Jerusalem. Do you think that's the only infidels they want to bomb? You out of your mind. We're next. So let's help build a mosque on the corner. You idiot, building a mosque on the corner is no different than had the Japanese in the Second World War saying, look, it's a long way to fly over here and bomb y'all. Could we not use some of your smaller airports to do it? Oh, yeah, you can have Aner, you can have it. Mm-hmm. See, you got to be out of your mind. How'd you get so smart? I'm dumb, but I can read. What's going to happen here in this valley of decision then? Said the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, how's that going to happen? The sun and the moon don't have a light switch. Neither do the stars. You can't cut them on and off. You can't do that, can you? Just to tell these people what was going to happen wouldn't make any sense. They didn't understand this nuclear war was coming. Do you understand that when the nuclear war comes, you can speak to some of our folks who secretly meet at these missions and tell people this stuff in another language. When you drop a nuclear bomb, it swoops everything up like the heavens are unfolding. It puts so much darkness in the air, and when you drop several of them, it's going to blot out the sun. You won't be able to see the sun many days. You won't be able to see the moon. You won't be able to see the stars. We've said nuclear warfare so long that very few people really understand the horrendous thing that is. The Jews understand, because do you know how many it's going to take to hit Israel for it to be over there? One. Not going to be like it is today. Let's take part of southern Lebanon. Let's go over here and do this. Well, we got this and we got that. No, one. One may not kill everybody. Israel's about the size of New Jersey. But even if you shot it down in air and stopped it from landing, it would still fry all the computers and all the electricity in the country, and you'd be back in the 15th century in 3 seconds. Bam! One! So this is what the Jews are fighting. And I'm glad they're fighting, and that's good, but we'll find out in a minute that it don't matter whether they fight or not, because they got a big brother. Verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. He can't do that if it ain't there. It's going to be there. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. And that's just a little sentence there. But when you look it up in the original languages, that means it is going to be violently shaken. You see, when the Lord returns, he's going to shake this earth so bad, an earthquake so big is going to take place, it's going to change the topography of the world. You're not playing with an appointed church leader. You're playing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're playing with the Lord of glory. You're playing with he who spoke and put it all together, and he who can speak again and take it all apart. Please know who the God of Israel is and with whom we have to deal. We've forgotten his power because that upsets people. Well, give them a BC and tell them to read that and get down here. The Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children, Israel. nothing to worry about. Remember when you was a little boy, if you could just get home to daddy, everything would be all right. If the bully picked on you, you had a problem at school or something, if you could just get home to daddy, everything would be all right. The Jews will just come home to daddy, everything be all right. The Christians have come home to daddy, and everything is all right. He said, you don't have to call me, I'm not going to call you a servant anymore, son. I'm going to call you my friend. You can call me Abba, Father, which means daddy. And we get in all the ritualistic churches, and that's all fine and good, and we don't degrade the worship of the Lord in any sense of the matter, nor take away from his reverence. But he said, I could say, help! When I'm in trouble, and he'll say, what is it, partner? And I can tell him, just like I would my earthly daddy, I'm in trouble. I need some help. Please help me. And he said, don't worry, I'm with you. Somebody said, well, these things are just shadows of things to come. Wise up. Didn't you learn anything about shadows as you were coming up? Anytime you see a shadow, the real thing is not far behind. Please notice that next shadow you look at. This is the door. He got his hand on the knob. Well, I've heard this all my life. How old are you? Well, I'm 60. Big deal. Sea turtles are 100. All your life. Let me tell you real quick, in the end, scoffers will come, the Bible said. I love them when I meet them. Well, I just can't believe it. I said, boy, it's a good day. I'm so glad you came by. What a good fulfillment of prophecy. And they want to scream, what? I said, it told me in the end, the last days, scoffers would come. I'm so glad to see you. Means I'm going home soon. Would you like to go? Do you have a home to go to? Well, I know, Porky Pig. You said, so shall ye know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her. M.O. Jerusalem's been run over and occupied by this group and that group for centuries. Became a state in 1948. That was the beginning of the end. We've been preaching and telling people, be careful because the Arabs are going to come down on Jerusalem. That's going to start the war of Gog and Magog. The Lord is going to put hooks in the jaws of the Russians and draw them into it and the others into it. And we're going to have hell on earth because that's going to be the tribulation. Mark my words. Oh, well, now I've heard that before. And have you got a TV set? Have you tuned in lately? Have you noticed where they're coming from and who it is? And I appreciate the politicians, but you and I both know politicians. The art of being a politician is to compromise. You have to. We give this, you give that, you give in here, we give in there. And you have to do that. Listen to those generals and admirals that come on TV with some advice. Watch what they're saying. Well, do you think this will go on? They'll say, there's no way you can stop it. These people are dead set to wipe out Israel. This is just their first barrage. They'll do what they can now. You may push them back. You may sign a peace treaty. All they're doing is buying time. What you going to do when they get the bomb? And all of them are saying the same thing. One of them said, Iran is a puzzle from hell. That it's a problem from hell. We don't know what to do. What can we do? Before, when Iraq had a bomb-making place, and they were all over there going to work, spinning them out, doing the best they could, the Jews said, we know where it is. See you later. Boom, it was gone. I mean, they took it out. And if you ever read the story of that, I mean, it was an amazing tactical thing of how they went and took that thing. I couldn't have any radio communication. because it could be picked up. Had to fly in below the radar. Four planes had to meet at the same time at the same place, drop their stuff, and go straight up instead of run into each other with no communication. Just their timing. And they pulled it off. Can't do that this time because Iran learned from Iraq and they learned from North Korea, and they've put their factories in mountains where they're hard to bomb. Oh, they got them scattered all over that huge country. You can't take them out with one raid. They are dead set on developing that bomb, and when you see that developed, you pack your bags, get ready to go. Lord Jesus Christ getting ready to come. Because they're not going to spend a whole long time dropping it. If you think the Jews are going to give up for some reason, then you don't know Jews. This thing coming. I can't prove that it is. I honestly believe in my heart the war of Gog and Magog started. Just started. I hear those admirals and those generals come on and they say, no, we're not going to have the Third World War. The Third World War is underway. Have you not been listening? You not been listening? An admiral in the Navy said 10 years ago, said within the next 10 years, we will have a nuclear weapon dropped on us by some way, shape, or form in this country in the next 10 years. Some of them thought he was crazy. Now they're agreeing with him. The president of Iran is looking for that imam, by the way, not to come sometime in the long-distance future. He honestly believes he's going to be here in 2 years. And he's convinced it is his job to get him here. That's where we stand this morning. I thought it would be my duty to tell you exactly where we are. And I tell you this, if you're a Christian, you're just seeing the future written in advance come to pass, and you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a day that's going to be. What a ride at the fair, huh? And if you're lost, I'm here as your friend not to condemn you, because if you stay here without the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll do the condemning. I don't have to condemn anybody, nor do I have the authority. But I'm here as an errand boy and delivering the pizza, telling you that Jesus is about to come. These events are being fulfilled as you watch your television set. And if you are here today without a Savior and have never given your life to Christ and said, yes, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, whatever that means, I want in, you better do that today. Well, I'll just wait. You go right ahead. Help yourself. May I bid you goodbye now. I ain't waiting with you. Well, you really believe that, don't you? Do you believe John 3:16? It's not a joke. You a sinner. I can list some for the bigger part of you. I've known you for years. You can list some of mine, I'm sure. But understand, it's about over, folks. So, well, you're trying to scare people. No, I'm trying to make you glad. I can hardly wait. I hope it's this afternoon. I'd like to go ahead and finish dinner. It's just one of those things. You know. Used to tell them in the grade school, the Russians are coming. They're going to bomb us. Everybody get under your desk. Under the desk. Desk ain't gonna help you if a bomb drops on this little old bitty scoop. Billy Cleveland behind your house, Charlie. Let's get to the lunchroom. Finish off that banana pudding if they got. You know. I always had a different way of looking at things. But boy, I understood to look at this right. I understood I was a sinner and needed a Savior. When it was explained to me, I said, count me in. Count me in. I'll learn the rest of it later. And that's why 60 years later I stand and tell you, as my daddy used to say, Jesus is coming soon. Ready or not, won't you get ready today? Where you are, don't bother, come up here, just bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it. No use to list them. You already got the list. I just don't want to see the list. I just want to be forgiven of it. I want you to scratch it, tear it up, cast it into the depths of the deepest sea, never to be seen again. I just trust you to save me. And he will. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You do that this morning. If you've never done it, don't you leave here continuing to bet your eternity. See, we say, I'll bet my life, like that's a big deal. Life ain't a big deal. It don't last long. Eternity is the big deal. And you're going to live forever. The question is not are you, the question is where. And it'll either be in the presence or in the absence of God. You can determine that destiny today by calling on Him as we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet here on the edge of eternity and read in your book, history written in advance. Tomorrow's newspaper is today's last pages of the Bible. Thank you for giving us a warning. Thank you for telling us in advance. Thank you for preparing the way, and thank you for paying for our sin, that we can live with you forever. Be with those here, Lord, who are without a Savior. I'd ask as you move through this congregation today that stop at the hearts of those who have never given their heart to you, who have never really considered the end. Many white of hair and long of tooth and many candles on the cake and still saying, well, I'll wait. It's no time to wait. And Lord, would you please let someone come to you today. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.